Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hill, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds, in the calming of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So there's always something just calming about a certain person in your life. I bet you can think about them. It's the person that just walks into the room, takes a deep breath, takes it all in, and just makes you feel better. We all have that friend that we know. I had a hairdresser actually once that was like the most soft-spoken, like hair day's always a good day, but she just made it peaceful. Well, here we are in a situation tonight in Scripture where the disciples are locked away in a room full of fear because what could happen to them. Historically, if you follow a fallen Messiah, you can then also be persecuted. So Jesus appears, I think it's very interesting to notice, in a locked room. He appears in this room and he says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands, his pain, and then says again, "Peace be with you." Jesus came and stood among them. I think it's important to note and understand that the resurrection doesn't stop by a locked door. The resurrection does not affect you because you hide away. In fact, we have a God and a Savior who comes to you. We're going to talk about Genesis today, but before we get quite there, I want to remind you that in the first page of Scripture, in the first story of our God, he is walking with us. Not some distant God looking down, looking to see what we might do or not do, but walking with us. And then in this resurrected Christ, we have God entering into the room. I think it's also important to note that Jesus shows up in fear. We use this word peace sometimes to think about this like beautiful, quiet space. Like, I mean, honestly, when I walk in here, when it's empty, like, and it's just, it's beautiful, right? It's peaceful. But that's not the peace that Jesus brought today. I've told you a lot of times about my love of the Hebrew word shalom, because it means so much more than peace. It means a reordering of everything that is right and everything that is wrong and putting it in a to-do list. It's AI for the heart through Christ. It's true. It's real. And that peace he brings into a room where peace didn't make sense. Fear made sense. And also, we haven't even talked about the guys that were in the room who ran away fearful, didn't even stay at the cross. They denied their best friend, their Lord and their Savior. They said, "Did you know him?" And they're like, "Nah, no, I think you mean the other Jesus." And he still walks into that room. And the first thing out of his mouth is peace. Peace be with you. And to me, that means reorder it, y'all. Let's shake it up and put it back in the order that it belongs in. My peace I bring you. He says it twice, without shame, not condemning them, no lecture about abandoning him. I mean, if there's a time for a sermon, this is that time. And he just says, peace. A calm presence changes the atmosphere of any room. And Jesus did just that. But it started in Genesis. Genesis 2:7, God breathes, it's called the Ruha, the breath of life, into Adam. And Jesus does the same thing for his fearful disciples. He said, I will breathe life into you. I give you the breath. And then he sends them out. Because it is Mother's Day, I know Mother's Day can be a complicated thing to celebrate in the life of the church. Some of us had grandmothers, some of us didn't. But what we all have are people who have poured into your life. And I know that because you're here. Even if you thought you didn't, you do now because you're here. I was explaining baptism and what it meant. And the reason we ask first and middle name, not that their last name isn't important, not that their family isn't important, but in that moment, they become a part of our family. Their last name becomes Christian. I also explained that I wouldn't pay for college tuition, so I want that in the notes somewhere. But they are now a part of my family. I am called to take care of y'all as I take care of my own children. Because that is what the community of believers are called to do. But I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I can't do it without the power and the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. There's this book I read in family ministry. It's called Sticky Faith. And one of its promoters is, and one of its reasons of how do you have faith that sticks with your children? Because there's like horrible statistics in this book that 50% of young adults walk away from the church for years and years, and only some of them come back. So how do you instill this sticky faith that won't let go within your kids? And one of the primary, there's two things that you can do that really change it all. And honestly, it works for adults too. What you say is what you do. If you want your kids to be more grateful, talk more about gratitude. If you want your kids to be more humble, show them what that looks like in serving others. And also, it is important and vital to have a web of five adults outside of your family that can pour into your own children. I mean, look at this baptism family. Y'all got Rose with you tonight. You're already doing this in community. But as a mom of two young adults, I know that the other men and women who are a part of my boys' life are just as vital and just as important in ensuring that they get their shalom, that they get their order right, that they get poured into. Because as much as I don't want to admit it, they don't always call me first, right? The first time Cody Myers came home from college, and I wish he was watching, but I'm 99% sure he wasn't, he drove straight to his girlfriend's house. And my husband looked at me and said, honey, they don't come home to see their mamas. And I was like, gah! But yet, he has a girlfriend that's amazing. She's got the love of Christ in her heart, so does her family, and it's okay. He needs others surrounding him with that love and that grace of Christ. And I want you to notice in this scripture, as John echoes this Genesis passage, this is a new creation language. The Spirit is not abstract. The Spirit is life of God with us. And it doesn't simply visit. We talked about the difference between delivering and the power of dwelling, right? My Amazon delivery person delivers a package. In fact, there was one today, and it wasn't Amazon, it was dog food. And it just showed up on my front porch, right? It was delivered. But there's a difference in that and dwelling within you. And this is what Jesus does. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive it and do something with it." I also just think it's really important to note who he's sending. He's sending a bunch of people that were locked in a room full of fear. He's sending people that didn't follow through with their word. He's sending imperfect humans to go and spread the gospel. But he starts with peace. See, the peace can come in the fearful room. The peace can come when you're doubting your worth of who you are and who you're called to be. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. He entered a room that was full of fear and full probably of self-hatred and low worth and not knowing what to do next. And he showed up and brought peace so that you can reconcile and reorder and go out. The only way that I can parent my kids well, because if I had my way, and Dan wouldn't let me have my way, and so they did leave the house and go to college, and they do have friends outside of the home, and we have taught them how to be a part of society, right? There's a part of me that just wants to, that's called helicopter parenting. When I tend to do this, my husband will go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, the sound of helicopter blades. Yeah, it's kind. It's kind and loving. What's sad is I used to teach a parenting class about these different things, right? But you have this urge to helicopter, to hover, to protect, to want to keep secure. And the way that I let go, and I do most days, is knowing they're not mine. They're first and foremost beloved children of God. And in that means they are covered with the Holy Spirit. Not just walking beside, but abiding within. God gave us this gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus walks into a locked room of fear and breathes on them and says, "Receive. Receive this gift." First, he reordered of peace. And when they had breathed, and it said they had joy when they saw him. Isn't that funny how these things, fear, joy, peace, can all mingle in the same space? But when we lean into that grace and that power of abiding within the Holy Spirit, it's when we can let go and know that God is our guide. God is our ultimate Father. God is our shepherd, our healer, our teacher. And in that, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. Because you can. Not because it's easy, not because you won't have fear, not because you won't have self-doubt, but because you can. And you should. Go out into this world. What if you're the person that walks into the room and brings the peace? What if you're the person that shows your wounds and says, I'm here with you? Couldn't this world use a little bit more peace? A little bit more joy? A little bit more calm? And not through our doing, because, yeah, we think we can all do this, but through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the miracle is not only that Jesus entered into a locked room, but the miracle is that fearful people eventually walked back out of it into the space. They were changed. That same spirit lives within us today. And I think that is exactly what the world needs. A little bit more of you. A little bit more of us. Through that peace and power of the Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I don't know where the people in this room are today. I don't know if it's been a great day, a horrid day, or just a Saturday. What I do know is that you are walking with them. Remind each and every one of us that your power, your grace, your love, that is what sustains us in the journey. That is what is able to let us let go of our world and hold on to your shalom. The peace that surpasses all understanding. As we go out today, remind us that we are ignited with this love, ignited with this power, so that we can transform each and every room with your ultimate shalom. Amen.